Sometimes it's not the having of the need, it's the vocalizing of the need that is exhausting. And so I just want to encourage you to be needy. Like, I think there's so much that we do in society where we're trying to walk around, you know, not having needs or not wanting things or trying to do better about our insecurities and also trying to be the best partner. And that can be exhausting. So it's okay to be needy and to admit that you have needs and that sometimes those needs don't go into nice little neat packages.
Welcome to Normalizing Non-Monogamy, the podcast where we interview incredible people from all over the world to hear their personal journeys of self-discovery through the lenses of love, sex, and relationships.
Our mission is to show people that they're not alone and to inspire them to embrace their true selves so that together we can open minds and live authentically without shame.
We believe everyone's story is powerful and beautiful, yet it's important to remember that everyone does life a little bit differently and that the views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect our own.
Additionally, we aren't doctors. Please consult a medical professional for anything regarding your health that you might learn about on the show. Enjoy!
Hi, welcome to Ask Us Anything. I'm Miche and this is Finn. We wanted to welcome you to another community session where we talk about all of the questions you all have sent us. We're excited about it and happy to be here. And it's a beautiful month of April and everything's blooming and I have wonderful allergies. It's great. Is everybody sneezing? It's just me.
Just you. Well, I would agreed with you that it's been a beautiful month. I mean, it technically has been. We've had lots of great weather, but as I look out the window, it is cold, rainy, and windy. So if we had talked 2 days ago, I would have said yes. Beautiful and sunny.
Sorry, it's beautiful and sunny here, and there's like wind.
Breeze. They call that breeze. If it's a positive thing, it's a breeze.
It's a breeze. It's a gentle breeze blowing through the air. We need you background. So I am a ethical non-monogamy coach. I work in conjunction with Expansive Connection. We have a whole bunch of coaches there and we all love our clients. And if you are ever looking for someone to process through the ins and outs of why people send us these questions in the first place, feel free to take a look over on our website. I'm also a licensed marriage and family therapist, but I just work on like, the coaching spaces here. And I have a specialization in trauma and sex therapy. And I've been walking my own E&M journey for about 4.5 years now. And I'm falling upwards. So that works.
Yeah, that's the best way to fall. Yeah, and on my side, I have zero licenses other than my driver's license. But I've been doing the non-monogamy thing for like 17 years or so at this point. And I'm in an open partnership with Emma, who normally hosts a show with me. If this is your very first time listening, there's lots of us talking. You can go back and find. And I actually did just last month, Miche, I finished my sex and relationship coaching program through the through the Somatica Institute. So I have graduated. I'm not certified, but I'm graduated. I haven't done the certification, but I finished it all and it was amazing. So
I am so happy for you.
I'm freshly minted.
Freshly minted. What did you do to celebrate?
What did I do to celebrate? I don't even know. I think we went out to dinner. Perhaps we went out to dinner. It's been a wild ride. We're preparing for being gone for a couple of months, like a month. And so everything is a blur right now. So I'm just excited to be here with you, recording some questions, and I'll remember at some point what we did to celebrate.
Yeah.
And then I'll randomly yell it out in the middle of this and you'll be like, what was that?
I remember. Okay, cool.
So the first question we have today is in some ways about burnout. It's just about how do we persevere when shit gets hard or when it's been hard and we're just tired. So we'll jump in to the question now and then we'll see you on the other side.
Hi, Miche and Finn. My question is, how do I persevere through a rough patch? The last few months have been fairly rough for me non-monogamy wise. I'm noticing that a lot of fears associated with past hurts from previous relationships are coming up for me. This has resulted in me feeling very triggered and dysregulated when my partner is with another partner. Of late, I am finding that I am tired, Tired of feeling like I always have an issue that needs discussing. Tired of just having needs at all. I dislike feeling like I need accommodation. I have discussed with my partner, and he ensures me that he's here and doesn't need me to find a solution anytime soon. But it's draining for me. So, how do I persevere through this period?
That's such a good question.
Yeah, isn't this a fun loop when you're struggling with your partner being with somebody else, and then you spend all of your time together talking about the struggles and you don't get to have any fun, and then that makes it even harder when they go spend time with their partner because all you did when you saw them was talk about how hard it was, and then they got to go and have fun with somebody else. Isn't that fun?
That's, yeah. It's like, this is why I got into this, right?
and then you get fucking exhausted and burned out and tired of processing all the hard stuff, and you want it to just be fun.
Yep.
Yeah. And the only way to get there is probably to talk about it. And then it's hard and it's just a really fun loop to be in.
Or if you're one of those people who kind of get stuck in your head, if you're
not
trying to make the fun. No, you're not.
You don't know me.
Me neither. Even when you're trying to like get into the fun, it's like, but are they really having fun? Because I've only been talking about needs for like the last like week or two.
Yeah. So all that to say, validation that this is hard as hell. This is a lot of work. Relationships in general, we were saying before we hit record, one-on-one relationships are a lot of energy. And then you start adding multiple people, you start adding complexity. It is tiring.
It is exhausting. I did also want to say, like, I know that having needs and vocal, sometimes it's not the having of the need, it's the vocalizing of the need that is exhausting. And so I just want to encourage you to be needy. Like, I think there's so much that we do in society where we're trying to walk around, you know, not having needs or not wanting things or trying to do better about our insecurities and also trying to be the best partner. And that can be exhausting. So it's okay to be needy and to admit that you have needs and that sometimes those needs don't go into nice little neat packages.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to say if I didn't have this need, we could be, you know, doing something better than talking. If I just didn't have to have this thing, we could go and have a good time and not worry about it. But that's not quite how they work.
No. It's not. So I thought, like, she was talking about like the fear she has from past hurts, and one of the things that kind of came up for me was how sometimes when we get into, and I'm not saying that this is how it is, I'm not saying how, that this isn't how it is at all, or it is, whatever, that we can get into relationships where we feel really comfortable and safe. And a lot of times, if we can get into those relationships, we will find that that person triggers us. And after that trigger, we want to bring it up in the relationship and what's going on, because there's a part of us that wants to heal, create a new narrative, a new story, and then work past that. And these relationships hopefully lend themselves to safe spaces to be able to do that for yourself. And so if it was a very unsafe relationship to be in, maybe you would be triggered as much because your body and your intuitive, like your inner knowing, would understand that this isn't where this can be processed and it would stay hidden. So maybe this is a safe relationship. Hopefully it's a safe relationship where you're able to create new narratives for yourself.
Yeah. I love that. And I think, you know, I thought I had, and this isn't to be combative, but I think on the flip side is thinking about maybe it isn't, right? And this is just sort of the question, because you kind of like, well, I'm not saying this is the way it is. And I think, you know, there's the potential on the other side that maybe your needs aren't the problem. Mm-hmm. And I don't think our needs ever really are the problem, but I think maybe you having them isn't the issue. It's maybe what you're needing doesn't line up with the other person. Maybe they're needing something different. And it's, I think we can easily get caught in like a needs competition. Like, well, I need this and they need something else. And you're just kind of trying to escalate your need to say, well, my need to not do this is bigger than your need to do this. Well, no, my need to do it is bigger than your need not to do it. And so trying to maybe sometimes slow down and think about what are we really trying to get at? What is the thing that we're really trying to accomplish? Mm-hmm. What are our needs? Are our needs compatible? I think is a hard thing to look at and say, well, we keep coming up against this and we have very maybe opposing needs. Can we make our opposing needs work? So all of that was really framed around the note I made, was to kind of slow down, to give yourself some time or an opportunity to come maybe out of the burnout and the exhaustion. And that's not to say give up or walk away or throw it away, but are there ways that you can come together and say, hey, I am feeling exhausted. I imagine you're feeling exhausted. We've just been doing hardship for 3, 4, 5 months. I don't want to just throw this away, but what can we do to slow down, to rest a little bit so we can talk about this in a better way? If every time we come together to talk, we're both slightly triggered, it's really quick to elevate that and to bring that in, whether or not it is because of the existing or because of the previous. I think it's so hard to tell where it's coming from.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a very, very good point. And if you are feeling burnt out, I wonder if there's things that you can do to relieve the burnout in the relationship as well as individually.
Yeah.
So like when I think about that, I think of like ways to interject joy. Mm-hmm. So how do you create joyful moments with your partner and both just agree to just let some of those more triggered or intensity fueled conversations just be at peace? Not that you're not coming back to them, but just be at peace and just enjoy each other. And then also for the individual, how are you interjecting joy into your day-to-day? You know, is that sitting down with friends and talking with them about stuff that has nothing to do with your partners or the struggles that you've been going through, and building a good plan for how to self-soothe and how to take care of yourself outside of these conversations so that the burnout doesn't become huge or you begin to repair the energy depletion that's happened?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's super important. And one of, maybe just like some examples or an example that just came to mind as you were talking, you know, in navigating this, I with a partner had, and when we were coming together to have hard conversations, especially if there had been a lot of them and it felt like, you know, we know we're going to get into a long conversation that's going to be hard, we would often do something fun to start that conversation. So we would sit and play a game, you know, a word game on our phone or just a game of some kind, sort of to bring us together before the conversation to say, hey, look, we're going to have this conversation, but like, this is also us. Like, let's remember all of us. And then we would often play another game like at the end to kind of say, hey, that was a hard conversation. Can we bookend it with a little bit of joy as well? And so I think those are just like some concrete maybe things to think about and, you know, choose your own adventure. What is the thing between you and your partner that brings you to joy that doesn't have to focus on the hard? And not that it should, it's not necessarily like, well, let's just forget about the hard and replace it with good. That's the answer. But can we bring in a little bit of that joy to support the difficult conversations?
Yeah. Oh, I think there's one more thing that I've thought about as well. I'm sorry, you just reminded me of it. It was that being able to talk to your partner about there's a difference between like having a conversation where you want feedback and involvement from them, mm-hmm. especially if you're just having triggers or you're being dysregulated. It could also just be like, I just need someone who I know is safe and loves me to talk about and process this with. I'm not actually looking for you to change anything or for us to adjust anything. I'm just processing. And so that sometimes takes the pressure off of you and the other person to sit there and be like, okay, how do I hold this? How do I reflect back to you in a nice way that's like positive and caring about you? It's just like, hey, this is coming up for me. I just need to get it out and feel loved.
Yeah, totally. And I think the last note that you and I both kind of touched on in different ways when we were, you know, brainstorming together, just spoiler alert, anybody listening, we don't do this necessarily on the fly. We brainstorm. We come prepared.
Brainstorm, that's right. Sometimes.
Sometimes. Sometimes the storm is a little, yeah, a little brainier than others. But the note that we both kind of came to was finding community, finding places where you can maybe be in, and again, it doesn't necessarily have to be a non-monogamous focused community, but I think there is some value in being able to be in and around people who you can talk to about this stuff, where you can tell them, well, it's really hard for me when my partner goes out with their other partner and they don't roll their eyes at you, or they don't like be like, mm-hmm. yeah, well, no kidding, that's the problem, right? But they can go, oh, yeah, I have that same thing. You want to jump on a phone call, you want to talk. Here's some things I've done. Have you thought about? So being able to pull yourself a community that isn't just focused on the hard, isn't just focused on this. It gets you out of the echo chamber and says, okay, there's other people doing this. They're doing it different ways. They're happy. They're happy. That's not to say that I have to be happy, that just happiness is the goal, but it gets you out of, like I said, the echo chamber, that this is my only life, is this hard burnout place, that there is other stuff. There's other stuff going on. There's other people doing other things. And it's okay to bring some of that joy in too. Like it's really healthy too.
Yeah. It's also nice sometimes to hear that other people are having a shit time.
Yeah.
It's like being able to say like, oh, this is going horrible for you. And then you stop holding your breath, like trying to keep all of your stuff together and be like, oh, this is part of just being human and part of this experience. And like, I don't have to have it figured out in a week or two. Like, oh, okay. Well, like some people are a mess too. That's also okay. So sometimes just hearing that like other people are also kind of like drowning a little bit is so relieving.
Yeah, the pressure to be good at stuff, right? And specifically, I think you look at relationships, there's so much pressure to find the one, get married, have the kids, get the house, get the career, all of the relationship escalator. And then you can say, well, I thought I'd get away from that when I get into non-monogamy. And then you look around and there's, well, I have 7 partners and it's just total compersion all day, every day. I've never felt jealousy. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that seems a bit hard, but is there anybody else out there? And so I think sometimes the pressure to be a high performing polyamorous or non-monogamous person is real. And I think we're both here to say that it's also quite hard and can be very difficult, and it's not quite that easy all the time.
No, it's not. No.
And then a huge thank you to you, listener, for letting other people know that they're not alone. I think that's one of the beauties of this, is hearing from not just me, Shay, and me that this is okay and hard, but you calling in and saying, this is fucking hard and I'm tired. And I imagine there's a whole bunch of people who said, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And then they took a nap.
Oh, I love that. So I think piggybacking off what we're just talking about, it's so, I know that I've found the need to do this. And I've also talked to other people about how important it is to be able to admit to yourself that thinking about another person's needs, wants, desires, comfort all the time, that inclusion in your own brain is exhausting. And it's exhausting with one person, it's exhausting with two people, you add more to that, even if they're on different levels of like, you know, poly constellation, it can be really exhausting. It's okay to wake up one day and just be like, today I don't want to be poly. And it's not like saying I don't like love my people or want to be around them, but it's like, this is kind of heavy today, I want to put it to the side and just be me. Yeah. And it's okay to say that, because that's valid, because we're doing, you know, we're not doing algebra over here. We're kind of doing like calculus or trig or whatever. I don't know. Whatever.
Differential equations.
There you go. That is what we're doing on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, it's very real. And you know what's so hard about this sometimes, or I find hard about it, is my brain tells me if you drop the ball even a little bit, even once, you have basically failed, right? Mm. But the reality is, if I took a little bit of a breather today, you're going to get somebody awesome tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
How do we feel, Miche? Do we think this one feels complete-ish?
This one feels good. Yeah. Yeah. I hope it was helpful and it was supportive and validating for you and for everyone else that's listening, because perseverance is a real thing and it's hard and also good.
And it's okay some days to not persevere. It's okay some days to just not get out of bed, to just, yeah, eat waffles in mm-hmm. bed and relax and watch a bunch of TV.
Waffles in bed?
Every day. Well, not every day. Maybe just like once in a while, it's okay. Maybe even more than once in a while.
This is awesome.
All right. Shall we get on to the next question about sharing information that is not ours to share? Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert.
This is a boundary matter that my partner and I have not been able to see eye to eye on. He knows that I am calling this in. I'm going to give you a little background. I had some hormone replacement therapy, and my hormones went crazy, and I got real horny. I have been sharing that with some people, and I think it's my right to share. So we approached a couple's home that we were going to play with, and as the man came out of his home, my partner said to him, "Better watch out tonight. She's responding to some therapy she had." I didn't like that he did that. I told him later that I thought he overstepped, that it was up to me to share about me. He didn't get it, so we dropped it and we tried again tonight. I suggested to him that if a man had ED issues, I personally didn't think it was up to the woman to share about that with another couple upon meeting, that it would be up to him to bring it up, but not the woman to bring it up. He disagreed with me and felt that if the man did not bring it up, it might be the responsibility of the woman to do so, so that the other woman of the playtime knew what she was basically getting into. So it would be very interesting to me to hear another perspective on this, since I believe that it's up to the person to share about themselves and not about the other. Thanks.
This is a really great question. I like the view of boundaries. It's, you don't realize sometimes that things are boundaries until you're in them and you're like, oh, this doesn't work for me. So I love the fact that she's able to bring that up, and it's a different kind of context than, like, I think some of the ones we've done before. So this is kind of cool.
Yeah. I feel for both people in this situation. My thoughts on it, and then I'm going to be quiet. My thoughts on it were, I probably won't be quiet. I'm not good at being quiet. Being quiet makes for a boring podcast, I suppose, right?
We want you to talk. It's, yes, all the things.
So the thought that came to mind was the idea of the golden rule versus the platinum rule. And so anybody who's not familiar with either of these, golden rule is treat others as you wish to be treated. Platinum rule, treat others as they wish to be treated. And I think this is one of those where it just seemed really relevant to me. Right. Both sort of the argument that kind of went down, right, was it should have been no big deal that I told these people because I wouldn't have minded. And then the response is, well, what if I told them about this thing about you? Well, I wouldn't have minded. And the answer is, but the other person did mind, right? And so both people were bringing their own perspective to it, saying, well, I would have minded. I did mind, and I would mind in this situation. And the other person saying, I didn't mind, and I wouldn't mind in that situation. And so if we continue down this path, there will never be a place where we come together. And so I thought, so to me, the real thing is, it's not, I'm not doing this because I don't think it's a good idea or it doesn't make sense to me. Like, the real reason I'm not doing whatever thing is simply because you don't want me to, because it doesn't feel good to you. That is the only reason, right? Sharing, you could say, well, baseline sharing medical information, not okay, right? But what if that person, and this person even said, like, I would be totally good if you shared that because now they know what they're in for. So yeah. Even saying that is not even really an answer, right? We have to really step back and think about what do the people in the situation want.
Yeah. It's also kind of like letting go of, like, a little bit of ego and letting go of, like, I need you to see this from my perspective, and saying, like, okay, your perspective is good enough. If that's what makes you happy, what makes you feel good and safe and seen, I'm going to do that for you. Because sometimes it's like, I don't understand why, especially when it comes to, like, physical health and medical things, people just have different understandings, just different placements for that. For one person, it's like too revealing of information. For another person, they're just like, this is my body. We all have a body. This is what's happening. And so being able to just say, okay, like, that's what works for you, I'm going to respect that because that's a boundary for you. Although for me, it's not. Like, if you went up and told them, like, I have some ED issues, I'm like, oh, great. One less thing for me to have to bring up in the group. You've handled it for me. And even the way he kind of said it, I could see where, you know, it was probably like a bid for connection and being like, oh my gosh, she's really sexy and we're all going to have a great time tonight. And she was probably like, are you kidding me? Did you just tell them the super personal thing, like at the door? We're not even inside yet.
It's coming through the Ring camera. Like it's not even in the door yet. which I have
replay this.
Which, and that's why I have so much empathy for this, right? Because like it sounds like it was an excitement. Like,
yeah,
my partner's like just super into it. This is amazing. I'm so excited. You're gonna have a great time. We're all gonna have a great time. And then you just sort of like peed on the parade, and it sucks.
Peed on the parade.
And then at the end of the day, what do? You just all you can really do is say, "Shit, I'm sorry."
Yeah.
Now I know for next time. And also, the reality is, I'm probably going to get excited again. I'm probably going to screw it up again. I'm going to keep doing better. Like, that's all we can do in these moments. Because, right, again, we have to remember, backing it up, this for him wasn't a big deal. So to remember the next time, don't do that thing, is going to be harder. So I think it probably will take a few times, right? And maybe never be perfect for either person to be able to navigate these things, right? We just do our best.
Yeah. And it also sounds like there was like an assumption that the other person would know that this was something we don't talk about. And if they're normally the kind of couple that is like, we talk about everything and it's all on the table, and it's like, we've processed through all the stuff with these people, or especially if they're like, I don't remember if they said this or not, if they were like a couple that they've played with before, or even if it was like a new couple, like being able to say like, this is the norm we've established between us as a couple, and then with the couple that we're playing with, where this would feel like a next thing. Like, this is just what's happening. And so if it hadn't actually been discussed before, I could see where it would have blindsided both of them a little bit as to like how much we disclose and how much we don't.
Yep. Or an even more fun trap around this. But Miche, you just told 10 people that thing. Why can't I? You just told everybody. Why can't I tell anybody?
Very selective 10 people, okay?
Exactly. And I think that's back to, because for me or for you, that's the way I want to do it. And I can tell anybody I want. It's my stuff, right? And you can tell anybody you want about your stuff. And that's her stance. And his stance is different. And now they both know each other's stances better. And they can dance better together. They know the moves. They know this better now about each other. It's not a fun way to learn it.
I love that. Like, you're just talking about building bridges. And I love this. Like, you're just talking about how, you know, we could take this discrepancy and this opposite view of things and say, you know what, we don't have to be on the same page with this, but we can walk side by side and be super respectful and still get to where we're going, which is always supposed to be together. So I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, maybe just a couple other musings. I didn't do good at shutting up, did I? So that's the first musing. The next one is just the back to the golden rule, platinum rule. This was a thought I had a couple weeks ago that just kind of popped into my brain, which is, I think, right, we would often strive for the platinum rule.
Yeah.
And I think we can get there in a couple of ways. I think one way is asking for consent, right? Hey, we just learned this big thing. Or maybe it's a small thing. How do we want to share it with the world, right?
Yeah.
How do you want to share it with the world? I'm in this with you. What do you want around this? We can get to the platinum rule pretty quick there. You're straight up asking, how do you want to be treated? And then they get to tell you. A couple of things in there. One, they might not know. They might tell you one thing. You might do it, and they might realize that felt like shit. Mm-hmm. And then you adjust. But the other way, I think
it comes back to the whole idea of, like, you know, you don't know sometimes it's a boundary until you're in it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, you don't know the boundary exists until you blew past it and destroyed it. Been there, done that.
Yeah. We're all like laughing because we're like doing like inner reflections. Okay.
And I think the other way is you start with the golden rule, because, you know, maybe it's not even a moment that triggers, like, I should ask about this, because it seems so common sense. Like, oh, this is just the way we do it because this is the way I do it. And so we kind of start with the golden rule, step in a pile of shit, realize that we didn't do it the way our partner wanted, and then we have to apologize, we have to repair, and then we know what we needed to ask, that we didn't know we needed to ask the first time. It's just like, sometimes that's the only way to get there, is through a rupture that you repair.
Yeah. Well, that's what, like, Catherine says all the time, another fucking opportunity to learn. AFLs, they're good.
Yeah. Yep. And it's hard to learn when our defenses are up, thinking we did something wrong, thinking we hurt people. And so I just, swimming in this pool is tough, right?
Yeah.
This I'm going to mess up and learn from it and hear, and then I'm going to mess up again. And so much of the like learning and growth. No wonder that first person who called in was exhausted and tired. Sometimes this dance is tiring.
Yes, it is. Like, I thought, especially when it's like an easier thing, like sometimes when you go into it, you're like, this was supposed to be a breeze. This is supposed to be super easy. We were supposed to be able to walk through this, and I didn't even realize this was a landmine. Like, that doesn't feel great. And if it happens a couple of times too, or you do the same thing over and over again, because you're just like, oh, that's so foreign to like everything I thought it was. And I really didn't think it was that big of a deal. Yeah. Having to watch yourself sometimes is difficult and hard. And then also to make sure that you're socially signaling to your partner what they're asking of you, it can be exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe one thought, a positive light on this, and not that I don't think this was a necessarily negative one. It just the thought that often on the other side of that rupture and repair is like a whole lot of connection to be able yes. to go through this, you know, maybe this happens a few times and then it doesn't happen a couple of times. And in those moments, you're like, wow, you really saw me. You heard you not like you went against your own instincts because of a thing that we just, you know, went through together. We learned together. And then of course, they'll screw it up again and you'll be like, oh my God, I thought we had fixed this. And like, that's just it's not linear, right? Mm-hmm. But there's like moments of connection in there to say, oh, you did see me. You did hear me. You got it.
Positive reinforcement and highlighting the good.
Yeah.
And making sure that your partner sees that you see them trying.
Yep.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
I just want to say I just appreciate these questions and all of the nuance that they hold in them. I love doing these every month with you, Misha. So I'm grateful we got to do this.
Highlight of my month. Are you kidding me? I'm like, yes, let's do this. I love being able to connect with the community and sit down and we can chat about it and like let all of our like poly hard-worn knocks and falls be good things.
Our battle scars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what's amazing about these is, and it's fun to come in here and have answers that aren't really answers. They're just because there isn't a right answer to so many of these. It's just we have to find what works for us, and what works for us on any given day is probably different than it was a few days before, and it will be different in a few days or weeks in the future.
And also how many skills you have underneath your belt. Like sometimes you just don't have all the skills. We're not supposed to always have all of the skills. Like it's a learning process. And it's like I probably will have new skills like 3 years from now that I didn't have today. And those will be good as well. And where I'm at right now is also okay.
I feel like that one was for me. Was that for me that you just said? All right. Well, should we tell people where they can find you, where they can find us, and let people get along with their weekend? It is a beautiful, I'm assuming it's a beautiful Friday in late April.
Wherever you are.
The tulips are coming up or whatever flower of choice for your climate.
It's definitely springy here. Everything's green. And I'm like, I've got to get my lawnmower out and be a positive citizen in the world. So
that hinges on lawn mowing.
Yeah, and just on lawn mowing. I can't be like, there's a beautiful neighborhood, and then there's that house. So I got to get out there and mow my lawn. But yes, okay. So you can find me at expansiveconnection.com. You can look underneath the coaches tab and find all of our wonderful coaches, and you can connect with me that way. You're also welcome to email me. It's just my first name, which is spelled kind of like it sounds. So it's just Misha@expansiveconnection.com. Maybe you can take that part out. So it's Misha@expansiveconnection.com.
I'm going to leave it in because it's easier. And then what I'll do is I'll just put links in the show notes to everything so people can always find you.
There we go.
It's like a perfect directory. And you can find those down below in your podcast show notes or at normalizingnonmonogamy.com. I'm going to take that one out, though. I'm going to take out my mistakes, but not yours.
I believe mine.
And And you can find all of the show notes there under the podcast tab or under the Ask Us Anything. And you can send us a question. We would love to have your questions. We will answer them to the best of our ability, or at least we'll ramble about them for a while.
And they don't all have to be E&M related. They can just be relationship or interpersonally, like interpersonal questions that you have.
Or rollerblading, roller skating, anything.
Long walks on the beach, all of those.
We're multifaceted humans over here. All right. Well, okay. Michelle, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your April. And
thank you.
I hope it continues to be springy. Uh-huh. And I hope you get your lawn mowed.
Thank you. Me too. I'll see you next time.
All right. We'll see you next month. Bye.